We're going to stay in Israel right now, talking with a man who has been a regular broadcast partner right here on Prophecy Today for a number of years, and it's Rabbi Yoel Karen. Normally, we catch him in Jerusalem, but he is in a place called Tekoa. You might remember that there's the prophet Amos who came from Tekoa. And I wanted to have a conversation with Yoel about the spiritual aspect on this 64th birthday of the Jewish State of Israel. Chag Sameach, and welcome, Yoel.
Chag Sameach. Wow, what a day.
What a day. Indeed, it's exciting to think about the 64th birthday of the Jewish State of Israel. Miraculously, prophetically, it's amazing, and most world leaders would have to say that. And you know, Israel at 64 has done great nation building, politically, economically, militarily, but spiritually. Talk to me just a few moments, Rabbi, about how the Jewish people living in the land of their forefathers are doing spiritually. Are they ready for what God wants them to do?
Well, you know, maybe God just has to kind of say, ready or not, here I come. it's one of those things, you know. Is everything like it should be? Absolutely not. But do we see hope? Do we see progress? Absolutely. And that's, for me, that's really what this day is about. In the last few years, with all the terrible things that the secular government has done, and people feel so betrayed by it, people are even asking, how do you celebrate this as a religious holiday? And the answer is very simple. No matter what the state has done, no matter what its mistakes its leaders have made and continue to make, and what spiritual state they're in, the fact is, on this day, 64 years ago, God Almighty stretched out his arm and performed open miracles in front of the entire world. And the entire world had to take notice and know that there was a God in Israel. And that's something that no one saw coming. Nobody believed it could happen. And it happened in the blink of an eye. And that's how salvation comes. In the blink of an eye, before anybody helped, whether anyone's ready for it or not. And that's the thing. That, you know, on certain days that the Jewish people are saved, when great salvation has come to us, like Purim, Hanukkah, things like that, we have a set of psalms that we say called the Hallel, Psalms 113 through 118. And we don't say that on Purim because there were miracles done for us there, but they were done outside the land of Israel. So today we do say Hallel because these were what we call a Nes Galui, a revealed miracle in front of the eyes of everyone, was done for the nation of Israel in front of the whole world. And so we do stand up and we do sing those hymns of praise to God for what he's done for us. So it's really an amazing feeling to stand with my feet right now, planted in this ground next to a palm tree where my fathers were all these thousands of years, and that he's brought us back, and he's fulfilled his word. He's true to his word.
Well, and it is tangible evidence to the entire world that God is real and has a plan for the Jewish people. Talk to me. God wants to have a worship center on the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem. Talk about the progress. 64 years a nation, but how have they progressed, the Jewish people, in an effort to follow the command of God and have a worship center there in Jerusalem?
Yeah, as like I say, we have teams of people that are constantly engaged in study and experiment and building and working and making sure that we do what we can do, we do now. It's not, no one is going to hold me accountable for not finishing the job, but I will be held accountable for not doing the work. When God gave me a commandment, he says, build for me a sanctuary and I will dwell in your midst. That's a commandment just like any other. So we're working towards it. We're doing what we can. Right now, I can't walk up this very second and build an altar and start bringing sacrifices, but I can get the tools ready. I can learn how to do it. I can learn how to slaughter the animals properly. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're working on. And bit by bit on the other side, we see tiny bits of movement from the courts and from the government. You know, I'm sure you know that for years now, there's been terrible discrimination against religious Jews on the Temple Mount. And just in the last few weeks, they used to write every religious Jew's name down on a list and keep a running list of who you were and when you went. And now they stopped doing that. The police just received instructions to stop doing that to religious Jews. So, you know, I'll take whatever I can get. God works in mysterious ways, and bit by bit, we're getting there.
Well, let me talk about hindrances to doing what God wants the Jewish people to do, have a worship center there on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. You mentioned the government. Has the Israeli government been the real hindrance to moving ahead as it relates spiritually for the Jewish people?
Really, yes. You're looking at, it's the courts. The courts are the problem. The courts, the General Security Service, which is sort of like the Israeli Secret Service, they really call the shots. And they're one of the hindrances. These are the people whose minds have to be changed. Once their minds are changed, once they see the will of the people, and as we've mentioned before in past talks that we've had, you know, recent polls have come out, around half of the Jewish people are now saying they want to see a temple on the Temple Mount, which in itself is a shock and a very big thing. So we know whose minds have to be changed, who wields the power in that area, and who's holding it up. And it is. It's really the courts and the government. But God willing, we'll get there.
Well, on this 64th birthday of the State of Israel, they do indeed have sovereignty over the Temple Mount. But practically, custodial responsibilities have been given to the Islamic Trust, the Waqf, and they are somewhat of a hindrance, are they not? Is the Muslim world really stopping the Jewish people from moving ahead in this area?
Absolutely. The way it works is Israel maintains security control over the site, and the Islamic Trust maintains total religious control. The only expression of religion officially allowed on the Temple Mount is Islam, not Christianity. If you walk up with a New Testament, with a Book of Psalms, with a cross, a Star of David, anything like that, it has to be hidden or removed, or they will take it from you and put it in a locker until you come down off of the Temple Mount. Anything like Islam is the only religion which is allowed to be expressed freely and openly on the Temple Mount. So it is. It's a huge problem. And it's only going on because Moshe Dayan set it up that way. This was the deal that he struck. We took the Temple Mount over. God gave it into our hands. And Moshe Dayan looked God in the face and said, no, thank you, and gave it back.
Wow. That was in 1967, right?
That's right. That's absolutely right. Rabbi Goren had survey teams and engineers, they're ready to map out where the temple should be and start bulldozing. And Moshe Dayan came in and kicked him out of the mountain.
Wow. Now, remind everybody who Rabbi Goren is. I know that he was the rabbi of the Israeli military operation, the Israeli Defense Force. Also, he was there, the first one to blow the shofar and put a prayer in that Western Wall on June 7, 1967. But he was more than that. He was a mover and shaker as it relates to building that temple that we've been talking about.
Absolutely. He was very, very much involved in surveying, investigating, doing archaeological work, and finding out where things were, where the altar was located, where the Holy of Holies was located. And, you know, in order to take that position as chief rabbi of the Israel Defense Forces, he also demanded to be an actual field general as well. And he actually held the rank of general. And he, a lot of people don't know this, he single-handedly in 67 captured the city of Hebron, him and his Jeep driver.
Wow, what a story. Well, I had the opportunity to interview him several times and to be with him. He was quite a little ball of energy, short little guy, but power-packed indeed. Well, thinking about all that we've already said this far in our conversation, how far do you think in the future these things are going to come together? God has his own plan, but, I mean, do you see this in the near future or long haul before we see a temple on the Temple Mount?
I'm praying and hoping that, of course, that it'll happen tomorrow. But do I think I'll see it in the next year or 5 years? If I was a gambling man, I probably wouldn't put money on it. But again, if I had said that in 1948, I'd be dead wrong if I thought that the State of Israel was going to emerge in one day. You know, but so that's all I can tell you. If in 67 and someone had asked me, do you think that we're going to defeat five nations and regain control over the Temple Mount, that also would have seemed such a far-off dream that it seemed almost impossible. Nothing's impossible with God. And like I say, there's a sort of a critical mass that goes with these things. As things move along, you get a little bit more of the people behind you, a little bit more, and then the next thing you know it, you've got a huge snowball and nothing can stop it.
You know, I asked Rabbi Nachman Kahane. He's one of the guys who really started these days the idea of putting a temple on the Temple Mount, training up the people, et cetera, et cetera. And I said to Rabbi Kahana, I said, do you believe that you're going to see the temple on the Temple Mount in your lifetime? He said, I do believe that is possibly the case. He said, whatever God does, he does quickly. And you've just given us evidence, 1948, 1967. And here in the year 2012, we can see it happen again as well.
God willing.
God willing. That is the stand. Indeed, God can do what he wants to have done. And he has a plan, absolute plan, from the scriptures. We can read the plan that God has for the Jewish people. Rabbi, thank you so very much. I know that you were some friends there in Tekoa celebrating the independence of the Jewish state of Israel, the 64th birthday. Give my greetings to them. And thank you for helping us look at the spiritual aspect of this 64th birthday. Appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
God bless.